If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Sarah Keyworth.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello!
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 Oh my God, there's a third voice in the room right from the start.
Yeah. Hello,
who
yes.
could it be?
Right from the jump.
It's Lucas!
Oh, thank you.
We found him!
Yeah.
You've all been asking. You've all been asking.
I was wandering the streets outside, but Sarah brought me in.
Yeah.
Sheltered me.
He was shivering. Mm. His hair was matted. I had to give him a bath.
I'd had a dog. I'd found one somewhere.
He had a dog. He was a dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
The whole thing was very upsetting.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This is what you missed while you were in here.
Yes, I was in here setting up.
Yeah.
Whilst you guys were having a very Oliver Twist-like encounter outside.
It was very, very
please,
Disney.
Sarah.
I had to cut him out of a sack. I had to wrestle him off a man. He
does
said,
that
no,
happen in Oliver Twist?
I'm throwing him off a bridge.
Wait, does that happen in Oliver
no,
Twist?
No, I think I'm thinking of Aristocats, which is basically the same story.
That was my favourite movie growing up. Apparently, I used to watch it on repeat.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember anything that happens
in it now. Was it because of the jazz scene?
Maybe. I honestly can't remember anything in it
These
now.
Cats are jazzing.
They're very jazzy.
They're very jazzy cats.
Okay, and it's great.
Do you think you were trying to glean more information from it? Do you think you were like, no, I'm missing something here?
What, in the Aristocrat?
Yeah, you were like, I gotta watch it again. Because I feel like there's...
Yeah, I used to write little reviews of it as well when I was 5.
Did
yeah,
you?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, I was like, that's really cute.
I love the people who write reviews. Do you get that? You know, the people like post like Letterboxd reviews and stuff?
Yeah, no, I write them sometimes.
Do you? Are
yeah,
they Letterboxd, really great?
Letterboxd is quite a cool thing. A lot of my friends are on it. Are
What's
you on
that?
Letterboxd?
I don't know
it's
what it is.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to
My understanding
it.
Of a Letterboxd, Lucas, is a, is a big red thing outside on the street.
No, there's no paper involved. This one's on your phone. And you just...
You've lost me.
Yeah. It's like IMDb, but for movies. Well, no, IMDb is already for movies. It's kind of like a more accessible IMDb.
I really like the idea. What do you think the M stands for in IMDb, if not movies?
IMDb is just for... It's
Mickey.
Mickey!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that.
It's a resource for watching that film. And when you're like,
oh, which Mickey is that? Yeah. I think I've seen that Mickey before. And then you
and
look it up.
You know what I'm really bad at?
It's either Overman or Mouse.
Yes. Mm. I'm really bad at figuring out voices. You know when you watch it? So Patrick and I, we recently watched Across the Spider-Verse, part one. And spoiler, there's two parts. We did not know that. We got to the end and we were like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Actually, none of it was wrapped up. But the voices in it, they're all like famous actors, but I cannot figure out who anyone is. Mm. Like I'll be like, I know who that person is, but yeah. I cannot figure it out. And Patrick's pretty good, but if we get lost... We go on IMDb.
Oh, you got to go straight to IMDb.
To IMDb.
Have you ever encountered a voice?
Oscar Isaac. That was who
we really?
Oh, yeah, he's in it. Yeah.
Have you ever encountered a famous voice in like an animation and you're like, I'm pretty confident it's this person. It turns out to be a different famous person and you realise they've got the same voice.
No. Yes. Were you thinking of a specific example?
In the movie Klaus, which is a Christmas animation, very good, thoroughly recommended for winter.
Summertime.
Get on it now, guys. There's a voice that is, this character is voiced by, I think, Joan. Oh, fuck. There's a woman called Joan. Joan of Arc. Yeah. She's voiced by Joan of Arc. And I was like, that is uncanny. But she has the same voice as Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And ages...
Melissa McCarthy is a good, like...
Yeah.
That's a good guess for a voice actor.
So I was like, I'm pretty confident it's her, but it wasn't. It was Joan. Dot, dot, dot.
Let me tell you something. At my job, not my comedy job, my other job, there are two people... You're not supposed to say you have another job, by the way. You're supposed to project success.
Mm. Yeah.
But boy, do I have another job.
Mickey's got 10 jobs. Mickey turned up at 5 a.m. and cleaned this studio.
I mean, that's not far off. At my other job, there is a woman who sounds exactly the same as one of her colleagues, but I am the only one that thinks so, but I cannot tell them apart. So when like one of them calls me, I cannot tell you who it is because
I
have the same voice.
Yeah.
And then every time I have to go, is that Louise or is that... The other one.
Yeah.
And that's what I say, the other one. And I cannot figure it out. Like, I find it so difficult and I don't know what to do because it's really insulting. Mm. It's really insulting to say to two people, like, I cannot figure out. To me, you're the same person.
You're indistinguishable from this other person here.
That would be really problematic if they started a podcast together.
It would be.
Yes.
That would be very confusing.
There's also a really famous singing duo in the Netherlands.
Really famous.
really famous. Like to the point where like I'm quite excited for when Patrick learns Dutch and I can like actually like make him listen to some of the things that I love, like some of the things that I'm like a real, real big fan of that like no one here would know what I'm talking about. And they sell out arenas, which is such a funny idea when you're here, it's such a funny idea for such a small country to have like people that sell out arenas.
Is it just everybody that everybody's there?
Everybody in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can all fill one arena. And then
the
like,
bike locks are so busy.
And to have like, but you know, to have that experience of like everyone singing their songs.
Yeah.
Because they're really famous.
They're really famous.
Anyway, they sound the same. And whenever they're singing, I'm like, you could be one person.
We should introduce and explain this podcast episode.
What do you mean?
We should tell it.
Which is exactly what people want.
We should tell everybody what's going on right now.
Let's tell them what's going on. So obviously we were gone for a couple of weeks.
We're sorry about that.
We were sorry about that, but we were, if you hadn't noticed from any of our content, at the Edinburgh Fringe.
We were so bold and arrogant about how much content we were going to create during the Edinburgh Fringe. I arrived and I was like, I'm just going to immediately get Mickey and Lucas in the same room. We're going to make so many episodes of this podcast.
We literally saw each other three times.
Yeah.
We were in the same room once.
Yeah, I think the three of us together, yeah, once.
And yeah, we were all very inebriated.
And we couldn't made a podcast at that point.
And I had to go play bowling.
Mickey, you were off your face. Yeah.
I was off my face on games.
Mickey was
There were so many games to play, which probably got me looking quite drunk.
We had to attend a sort of industry party that took place in like a...
bowling alley sort of
slash
like arcade
that had like all the classics in
yeah.
there.
It was the best.
It is really good.
All the classics. Hopscotch.
Hopscotch, yeah. That thing with a hoop and the stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is hard to play in a busy room.
Yeah.
But I love it so much. There's the 2 years in a row they've had that party in that venue.
It's so great.
It's just a wonderful split between industry people, so like producers and agents, like having intense sort of networky conversations. And then the other side of the room is socially awkward comedians bowling so aggressively.
Yeah.
Not speaking to anybody, having zero conversations.
There was some some bowling. There were some rules broken. No one was wearing any shoes. No one's wearing the correct
footwear. Where did you even get those? When I got there, and we got there early because my plan was to go and then leave before I realised that there were so many games and they were all free, which really turned the tide of how long I was going to stay.
Most people are like, it's an open bar. Yeah,
it's an open bowl.
Oh, no. I had a one drink and the rest was just me at the mini golf. But I really... I got there early and there was one group and they were wearing the exact like right footwear. So I was looking around because I was literally like, where do you even get this? I didn't even know where they got it. And then
so just like five people in the whole place were wearing bowling shoes.
Yes.
They bought their own.
And we
BYOS.
I did not get it. And so then someone in my group was like, I don't think it matters. And then we just started bowling. And
yeah.
It absolutely did not matter.
No, I don't think.
I saw you playing... Mickey was playing pool at one point, and I was playing mini golf. And you leant over the balcony to have a chat. That was quite nice.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Nice. Kind of like a Romeo and Juliet of the mini golf world.
I always think of us as a Romeo and Juliet of the mini golf.
Yeah.
That's what everyone says about you guys.
That's what everyone's been spreading.
When are they going to get together and kill themselves?
But incorporate mini golf somehow.
Yeah.
So, we still haven't explained anything. So we were there.
We were at the Fringe.
The Fringe / this party.
Which is why we were incapable of creating podcasts. So we're doing a catch-up episode today where we'll just keep you up to date with what we've been up to. Mm-hmm. And we've got Lucas in here because why not?
Mm.
Why ever not? Because we missed him, not why not.
did you miss him?
Well, that's good to feel thought about.
Mickey, that's really cringe.
Oh, no.
I missed him too. Yeah. I missed him too. It's not been the same without you.
No.
No, it's a totally new space. It's very exciting, though.
How do you feel about it?
I like it a lot. What's so funny? It's a new space. I'm excited. There's a kitchen.
Do you want to see your room?
Everything but the kitchen sink, but it's just the kitchen sink.
It's only...
My room.
Your room is one of those cupboards.
No. I mean, we've talked to people about how like awful this space looks, but like it's always fun to have a new person walk in. You've been the most positive so far.
No, I like it.
You like
it's
something,
cozy.
You like something grotty.
I do. Yeah, no, it's cozier than Vauxhall, I think.
Yes,
and you can't hear any trains. It's quite quiet.
It is, unless the man next door shows up, in which case it's real loud.
Yeah, what does he do? Is he a drummer?
He does audio editing, but insists on doing it without headphones out loud.
No.
And we think he does it for quite like big projects, like Netflix level TV shows.
Oh wow!
So there's got to be some kind of like violation of like a non-disclosure agreement or something like that. Because like
I think we've
got some Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think we've got some Stranger Things spoilers through the wall.
Okay, well, in that case, it's very exciting, and we're going to keep our
listeners updated. It's very exciting. And we will be live podcasting the whole thing. And we've got people who do a pottery class
the other side
of us. Yeah, you saw a full sculpture, which, to be fair, it's nice to see what they've been working on.
Mm. Mm. And mostly, you see, like, through the windows, you see, like, the small pots.
Yeah.
I could make that.
That's nothing.
No problem.
Yeah, we just saw a full head.
What? I couldn't make that.
Full human head.
Not
the rest
Lucas.
Of the body. Yeah, it's just me.
I just saw a full human head and body and legs, and he's followed me in the room.
He said hello.
Do we want to do like some updating? Also, before we continue updating people, I want to do some thank yous.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Oscars.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes. Shall I stop playing some music?
Oh, please. Like, immediately start playing the, like, get off the stage music. Ugh, Mickey. No, I want to thank
Mickey Overman has been working. Marty Byrne.
Mm-hmm. The man who's been so lovely.
Oh,
and
yes.
Get some of our audio quality back up. We basically have, we know a lot of you have been like, the audio is very quiet. And we're very sorry about that. But that's just an indication of how we're really doing this alone.
We need your money.
We need your money. Please sign up
for the quality of this podcast.
But we had someone reach out, Marty Byrne. He reached out.
Thank you, Marty.
And he basically helped us and got all of our levels back up. It's the nicest thing anyone's ever done.
It's really kind of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I just pen pals with Marty, I think.
Yes. We love him.
Yeah. I need thank to you, email Marty. Him. Thank you very much, Marty.
That was my... I don't know if I have any other thank yous. It was actually mostly Marty. Oh, do you want me to thank you?
No.
You look really disappointed.
Oh, that's fine. No, it's totally fine.
You don't have any other thank yous?
Really? I can think of some thank yous.
I thought you were going to do some fringe thank yous. I've been seeing lots of posts about fringe thank yous.
Oh, you have to do those. Yes, you have to do those in quite a grand way. I did that. But, we can thank all of our lovely listeners who came out and saw us.
Oh, it was so nice. So many people came to my show and said, I love the podcast. And I kept being like, we're coming back, I promise. Yeah. I promise we're coming back.
But did you have this? I had it in a way where, like, the people who love the podcast all told me, like, it was a secret.
Yeah. Like, it was shameful.
Like, it was
shameful.
They just
didn't
want to
swear.
Guys.
They were really embarrassed about swearing. They were like, thank fuck.
I hate that we're a guilty pleasure.
Why are we a guilty pleasure podcast? Every single person that walked out... Like, people will, like, talk, because what happens when you're at Monkey Barrel, which both Sarah and I were at, is you stand at the back at the end, so you kind of, like, chat to everyone as they come out. And everyone would be just, like, saying normal things at normal volume, and then someone who liked the podcast would come, and they would be like, by the way, I really like your podcast.
Oh my
every
God.
Single one.
Do we give off the vibe, like, we're trying to keep this a secret?
Guys, honestly, tell everybody.
Please. Tell your friends. Is it because we've not said tell your friends?
Oh, we you have to tell your friends, honestly. We are not trying to keep this a secret.
Do not keep this on the down low.
Also, if this is a guilty pleasure podcast, what are we doing?
What are we doing that's so guilty?
Ooh.
Oh,
you said
it's
that in
me.
A very... It is you, actually.
Oh, I heard it when I said
your
it.
Your inappropriate comments.
I got more pervy after you left, Lucas.
Yeah,
Lucas.
Is that even possible?
You got to come back and stop me.
I'm going to need to come back as HR.
Please come back as HR. I harass Mickey every week. She's got so many complaints.
It's awful. It's mostly butt related.
It's a lot of butt stuff.
It's a lot of butt stuff.
I'd like to do a thank you.
Ooh.
To somebody called Joe Hartland, who sent us a really nice message on Patreon that was just like real kind and like supportive and was all about like
so nice.
About like being best wishes for my top surgery and then just like gave you like recognition for being a good ally, which
oh, Joe,
I
it's
like
going on the poster
massively.
When I read that, I was like,
she doesn't hate the gays.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna. That's what I'm gonna put on. Great ally, thank you. But now it sounds like I'm making fun of that. It genuinely meant a lot.
I disagreed. I replied and said, "Joe,
you don't know me.
You got to understand. Most homophobic person I've ever met in my life. She hides it well, but it's
that's why people
intense.
Were whispering.
Yeah, that's why
people were whispering. Because I'm like,
oh, do you think it was this podcast or your secret homophobic podcast?
Well, you have to balance the scales. Yeah.
I really like your podcast.
I tried to get an audience from all scopes of life.
Yeah,
you know, and this one is very sort of queer positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I need to balance that out.
Life is all about balance.
Life is all about balance. That's what I believe.
And that's why you're the BBC.
Oh my God, I am the BBC. Yeah. No, that was really nice. If you ever want to send us a message and you think that's a bit cringe. We love it so much. Yeah.
Also, I don't know if we've talked about this because I think it was whilst you were at the Fringe. Somebody sent us, I'm going to find out who it was. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
There was a name. Somebody emailed us some fan art. Lily Ethan, Lily, thank you so much. I did email you back. It really made me laugh.
Yeah, it's the best.
Especially because Lily wrote in the email saying, the only way this could get even more embarrassing is if you guys don't remember putting this scene into all of our brains and I would just end up sending a random butt pic. But I will just let this art speak for itself. Thanks for all the laughs. Please never stop. Art is in capital letters, and I agree that it should be in capital letters.
It is art. I vaguely remember this. Yes, I remember. It was when you were going to talk. You were talking about going back to visit your family, right?
Well, we went to France, and we went on a hot air balloon.
Yeah, that was it.
Over some castles, but the butt stuff.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I do not recall.
I bet it's some joke about you mooning.
Yeah, it's got to be, but it must be that the whole family was mooning, right?
Also, there's multiple hot air balloons.
We were only in one, but there were multiple hot air balloons.
In the picture?
In this picture that Lily's taken some artistic license with the scene.
That's why it's art in capital letters.
You need to fit all your butts in the French.
The funny thing about it is that every Keyworth with their butt out in that image is me.
Obviously. Yeah.
So we all look the same.
I mean, literally, your parents came to see my show, and the way you were telling me was so funny, by the way. I have to say to everyone, Sarah walked up to me and they went, I might have done something really bad or it might be okay. And so I had no idea what was going to happen. And then you were like, my parents and my aunt and uncle are all coming to your show. But it turned out you hadn't even done this.
Well, I told them about you, but they come to the Fringe and stuff, and then they book stuff like randomly and things. So I like told them, like, they know who you are.
Right.
But they were talking about going to see a different show that night. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then like my mum just texted me and was like, we're not doing that. We're all going to see Mickey Overman. And like, I was like, oh, okay, great. Great stuff. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if Mickey's going to want that. And like my parents and my aunt and uncle are in their 70s. Mm. So like they're lovely people. They've got
The way you described it was they're all in their 70s and they all are missing either something, hearing or eyesight.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Some faculties have been lost. And crucially as well, they're probably drunk. So.
And then the nicest people, not at all the kind of Keyworths that you have described in all your stories of friends.
They were clearly on best behaviour.
They were on best behaviour. They came up to me and they said, we're Sarah's parents. Oh. Again, like it was a secret.
Yes, yeah, they don't. They do whisper that.
And I said, oh, hello. Thank you so much for coming. And then they were like, yes.
Yes. You said you were most nervous about them seeing your show than Patrick's family.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Patrick's family. Listen, with Patrick's family, I've already lost all their respect.
Yeah.
There's nothing left there for me to do. Mm. Like they already think I'm pretty awful. So, with your parents, they'd not met me before.
They'd been to see a show before you that they thought was really not good, and they'd actually like snuck out. So when I met them afterwards, I was we walked out of a show and I was like, oh my God, you didn't. I was like, you didn't. And they were like, oh no, not Mickey. She was great. And then my mum went, she says fuck a lot. And I was like, you say fuck a lot, mum.
That was the thing I was most worried about, was that I was like, I say a lot of fucking.
Yeah,
because there's a little bit where like I designed it to be a lot of the F word.
Yeah, my parents are so used to that. They've been coming to my shows for so long. And like, I mean, I've got a bit in my show about like a lesbian foursome this year. And like,
yeah, but there's something about your style that doesn't make it seem like you're being that
crude.
Crude.
Yeah. I thought it was one of the more wholesome notes of the show. Yeah.
It's really true. It's like there's something about like the way that you perform, that even when you perform things that are quite sexually explicit,
yeah,
it just seems like the same as when you're talking about a cabbage.
Yeah, because I make the cabbage thing incredibly sexually explicit.
Whereas when I'm talking,
that's true. Yeah. That,
but when I'm talking just
I
normal,
I peeled a whole cabbage.
That is
layer
gross,
by
actually.
Layer.
But yeah, when I just talk like normal, I think because of the way I sound and because of the way I speak, people are like, well, that's all right. I could not swear. And people are like, she's pretty crude. Actually.
She's very blue. but they had a good time.
Yeah.
How was your Fringe, Lucas?
That was great.
Tell us everything.
I had a great time. It was my first full run.
Your venue looked amazing.
It was crazy, our venue. It was basically, it was in the bottom of a pub and it was set up like an aeroplane. So there were like three seats. Like the rows were three seats, like, and then the chairs were quite high, so people had to like peek over. But they had little trays where you could put the drinks down, and then I would come out in my little mini skirt and give out peanuts. It was that was a nice note. No one really asked for that, but I enjoyed that. No, it was great actually. It was a very nice atmosphere. We could only get like 30 people in there, but we crammed in about 50.
That's
on
great.
On one particular day, that was the best day.
Yes. Which is against flight regulations.
Oh, but yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
We did all those jokes like exits are here. And
oh,
here.
I love that.
And we That's did a little so flight announcement at the beginning. And yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
That's great.
So now I have, first if I ever perform in an aeroplane again, I have lots of jokes about that room.
You've got so much ready experience.
Ready to go. Yes. I've got so much experience.
If anybody
like those
here.
Those people who, when there's like a flight delay, you know, there'll be like, I saw one recently where it was like a four old men. They were like one of those a cappella groups.
Barbershop quartet.
Quartet, yeah, that. And they started singing and they were like, four men entertain the whole plane. And I was always like, there's going to be some people who don't want that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I
yeah.
like to imagine that, like, if that happens, they'll be like 10 minutes delayed and Lucas is like, right.
Is there a comedian on board? You sort of shakingly get to your feet. I'm a comedian.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah, I always think about, you know, those like viral videos of like the whole cast of like The Lion King and they're doing like the Circle of Life. I always imagine like, what if one person on that plane is like traveling to a funeral?
Yeah. And well, then it's more poignant than ever.
Yeah. They're like sat in between two of the cast and they're like crying.
I'm never watching The Lion King again.
Yes, they're really going for it.
But it was great stuff. Overall, I saw Sarah's show, but I couldn't manage to get to see Mickey's. I tried to go on the first day, on like the second, I think, so even before the Fringe started, on the first, and they wouldn't let me in
because,
and I was like, do you know, because it was sold out. No, sorry, yes, it was sold out. I was just too drunk, actually. They said there's a lot of swearing in this show. Are you sure this is going to be appropriate for you?
I don't think you'd cope.
Yeah, I didn't think I could handle it.
Yeah, this show.
You're such a wholesome boy.
Mm. Mm-hmm, this show is for 70 plus.
70 plus. That's why your family.
You must be
so
this
much.
Old to ride this show.
Did I ever tell you about this really old lady? Her name was Edith. Enith? Is that her name?
Edith.
I'd go with Edith if I were you. Yeah.
Her name was Edith. And she was like, it was my first ever Fringe show. And I had this, okay, this bit was quite explicit about vampires.
I remember.
Yeah, okay.
I do recall.
Yes. And, yeah.
And
it
listener,
about...
it's exactly what you think.
I was imagining.
It's exactly the thing that you would think that a new comedian would talk about with vampires when it comes to sexually explicit content.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that bit, and then there was this really old lady in the crowd, and I was like, oh my God, you know, you feel like you're talking to your grandma, and she's going to be very upset with you. And then Edith laughed so hard. She was like in her 80s, because I asked. And then she laughed so hard, and then the whole game became about like how the rest of the audience were prudes, and if Edith would laugh, then like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, she was like, that's my favorite thing I've ever seen, and then she took a picture with me. It was the nicest thing, like, to this day, one of my favorite memories ever.
That's but you so weren't in the picture because you're a vampire.
Anyway, yeah, and probably she's dead now, but, you know, it was nice then.
All right, well, at least you showed her a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's real nice.
See, so it doesn't really matter. Age doesn't matter, was my point.
Did she not come back the next year?
No.
Oh, God.
No. No, I think the next year was probably after she passed.
Oh, no.
I don't know this at all.
This one's for you, Edith. Circle of Life.
Yes.
Because I was doing a show at midday, I started every show by trying to work out who had eaten the most eggs in the room that morning.
Oh, that was great.
It's really good fun. I'm sad I can't do it at any other time of day.
I wanted to tell...
You could do, your show next year at 12.
If I do it at 12, I'll do the egg stuff at the top. Yeah.
I'd eaten 3 eggs, but I didn't want to steal the show.
Lucas, you must. You must have stolen the show. Eggs was high as well.
Yeah.
Highest I got was a 5 egg scram one day, and... God, the room.
That's quite a lot.
Who ate that?
A big guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, big guy. He looked like he'd been playing some sport.
Morning.
He'd had a 5 egg scram.
Sort of Gaston level.
Like two chairs level of eggs.
I'd had a fried egg sandwich on the way.
With 3 eggs in it?
It was quite a mashed
3
up.
Fried eggs?
It was quite a lot of eggs in it, but I don't know how many. They were quite mashed. It was hard to tell where one egg started and one egg began.
I wish you told me, Lucas.
I'm so sorry, I ruined the show.
You should ruin the show. In hindsight, you've ruined the show.
I don't think comedians should pipe up.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They should pipe up.
It's for the public.
Mm. My friend.
The real people.
My friend doing her show, she had a great run, but like really early on, she was doing her show, started talking to a woman in the front row, like middle of the front row. And she was like, oh, how did you hear about the show? And this woman went, I'm reviewing it.
What? What?
And I was like, that's so fucking unprofessional.
It's incredibly unprofessional.
So like,
did they have a notebook out?
I don't think she must have not had a notebook out for my friend to have asked. But like, to and then the rest of the show is like, oh well, I don't really know what to do with you. And
I would have constantly gone review this.
Yeah.
Every time before every joke.
Every time you get a laugh, you go write that down. Yeah. Write that bit down.
Before every joke, I would have gone review this. I think that would have really added to it.
Mm. Really, review this. Review this one. Yeah. Warmed up.
Got your pen ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would have helped. Oh, well, it sounds like we all had nice Edinburghs.
We had lovely Edinburghs. Oh, I nearly died at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's have a little...
Physically?
Let's have a little for that moment.
There's only so much I can say about this story, so I've got to do like a slightly like censored version.
Yeah, you do a censored version.
On the last night of the Fringe... A group of us went up Arthur's Seat to scatter a friend's ashes at midnight, which is a terrible plan at the best of times.
Yes.
I was feeling quite anxious about it. I wasn't really sure how it was going to be. And I was like, I don't want anyone to like drink tonight. Earlier on at the party, the industry party that we all went to, an American comedian had given me a couple of weed gummies. And I'd taken one like a few nights before and had felt nothing. So I was like, well, I'll take one of them. It would kind of like just maybe sort of loosen me up a little bit. And yeah. That will be good. So I took one and then I went and I met everyone and I'm stood at the bottom. But by the way, if you don't know, Arthur's Seat is it's not like a huge mountain. It takes like during the day, half an hour to get up.
Yeah.
If you're really slow.
If you're Dutch, it takes like 10 seconds and you just like, I don't know. Like,
you just did two steps.
Like you just lunged up.
Yeah, I think normally it takes about half an hour.
We climbed it together last year. Mickey was like, literally, you can be up there in 15 minutes. And then that's the moment I realized how Dutch she was. Because like, genuinely, it was like you were floating. So mad.
But I did it every day that year.
Every day?
Last year, I went up off the seat every day because I didn't live very far from there and I just thought I needed to do something for it. Like, I'm like a goal-minded person. So, like, I thought for my mental health, I'm going to do... Like, the month is hard enough anyway. So, I thought for my mental health, I should exercise. And then I thought, it'd be easiest if I do a challenge. So, I said, I'll just go up off the seat every day. And about halfway through the run, I was like, well, this is the easiest thing you could do. I will say that when I did it three times this year, all of those times were much harder than last year.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not a difficult mountain to climb during the day.
No.
I would not advise doing it in the dark.
No.
Again, this is what I said to you. Having climbed it as much as I have, I would never do that in the dark.
Yeah. But I felt very strongly that I wanted to be there for this experience. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of memories of this person in Edinburgh and stuff like that. So I was like, I think I want to be there. So I met everyone down the bottom of the Arthur's Seat, and the atmosphere was a bit weird, and like it was more somber than I thought it was going to be, and I was feeling nothing from this weed gummy. So I was like... I'm having a second.
It's such a classic mistake.
It's like fresh out of a sitcom.
Yeah.
And then cut to sort of 15 minutes later, I'm higher than I've ever been. And I'm halfway up a mountain in the dark. And I was so high that I was trying to convince myself that I wasn't high and it was just the wind. And then there was like this little, I was like, it's okay. You're just being like buffeted about by the wind. And there was this other little voice in the back of my head going, you know what wind feels like, Sarah. You have been in the wind before. This isn't wind. And then I was like, this is so inappropriate. So I couldn't tell anyone what I'd done.
Oh, that's the worst.
So like, I can't just like turn to someone and go, by the way, I'm really high right now.
Because everyone's still very somber.
And I was so aware of my stupidity. So I was like just clambering up this mountain. Like those bits where I was like literally like phone torch in one hand, like using my other hand to get up these bits of the mountain thinking like, I'm going to die. I'm fully going to die. Nobody knows I'm high. I've been so dumb. My girlfriend's going to kill me. My mum's going to kill me. I'm so thick. I'm really stupid.
Wait, so you were going to die from the mountain your mum killing you and your girlfriend.
Three times. I'm going to die three times. Yeah. Triple death. I'm going to die on this mountain and then I'm going to, Louise is going to kill me and then my mum's going to kill me.
Triple death.
That's all I could think.
That's bad.
And I was getting my train at like 9 a.m. the next day and it was like.
That was the other thing. We turned out we were on the same train.
I was so stupid. I was so stupid. Mad. It was so stressful.
One of the reasons I didn't go was because I was like, my train is at night. Well, the main reason was you shouldn't climb this in the dark, but the other reason was my train is at 9:30.
Well, it turns out we've done a little test to work out who is the sensible host of this podcast. And I failed every category.
You should have taken Mickey, because then you would have had an experienced mountaineer to guide you.
That would have been good. It would have been good to have anybody to confide in at that moment.
You would have been like a guardian to
say. I would have loved it, actually. If you had been like,
I've accidentally got so high.
I would have said to you, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he would be proud.
He would be so proud. Yeah. It was a very fitting tribute, actually, in hindsight.
He would have loved it.
Yeah,
if you could tell him this story, he would have loved it.
He would have found it very amusing. I was absolutely terrified the entire time.
Did you feel better once you got to the top?
No, I felt worse because I knew we had to come down.
Yes.
And also,
In many ways.
I laughed through the entire scattering of the ashes, which was terrible.
Oh, no.
Which was really terrible.
Yeah.
But I just found
that's
the
like
whole
funeral laughs.
I found the whole thing so bizarre. And also the ashes were in a water bottle, which didn't, you know, was weird. Mm. And then the guy scattering them was holding them weirdly low. And so it looked like he was like spaffing this dust. And I was so high. And I was like,
Do you know what I mean? That was pretty crude, but that sounded lovely.
But this is.
Yeah.
I was like, there's just no part of this is sort of as romantic as I pictured it being in my head, where I was like, we're all going to be sort of stood together and it's going to be cathartic. And I was like, I'm high and it looks like he's having the dustiest wank.
Yes.
And I can't. And now I have to get down. But I think he would have approved.
He massively would have approved.
He would have approved of it all. So that's my tale of woe. I'm still slightly recovering from it, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's very good. That's a very good tale of woe.
It's so stupid.
It's very stupid.
Really stupid.
At least it happened at the end.
Yeah, I think.
And then you could just go home.
Yeah. The moment we got down, I was like, I'm going home, everybody. So they must have known something was going on with me. I was like, I'm leaving right now.
Yeah.
Because they were like, should we go grab some food? And I was like, no. I need to be away from you all.
Did you have a low point, Mickey?
What a question.
She must have done.
I did have a low point.
There's
actually
no way you didn't have a low point.
Yeah, but my low point is going to sound like a brag.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
I only got 4 stars.
No, it was that. I mean, okay. So Stuart Laws, who's been on this podcast,
friend of the pod, Stuart Laws.
He runs this like event where people do beer mat flipping.
Oh yeah. Comedians
do beer mat flipping, and it's like a big like, and they kind of run it. It's like people can come and see it, and it's like there's lots of these kind of late night.
It's like darts.
Yeah, events where comedians do just stupid stuff, and then they try and make like a fun thing out of it.
Mm.
And I had said to him once, just sort of in passing, like I had said, oh, I'm actually really good at beer mat flipping. Now I'm not good at anything. So this is like quite a big deal to me that I am actually not that bad at beer mat flipping as a sport. And so then he was like, oh, come and do it. Like, come and do it in Edinburgh. And so we went and we sat there, and it was like 8 comedians, and it was like lots of Rhys James was there and Dave Dodocherty and like lots of other people. And so Stu says at the beginning, he goes, Mickey's asked to be on this.
No.
Which is humiliating.
That's not what happened.
I mean, like, kind of, I guess. Because I was like, I'm actually really good at this. And he was holding this event. But anyway.
Yeah, but that makes it sound like you haven't got there on your own.
Yeah.
Merit, it makes it sound like you're, like a Make-A-Wish grant.
Yes, that, but that was a joke, I think. The joke, I think, was that Stuart was like...
Oh, okay, it was a joke. He wasn't like, and now your charity contestant.
No, I think the joke was, Mickey's pretty arrogant. She says she's really good at this.
Oh, I see.
She's the only one that's asked me on this.
Oh, no.
So everyone else was like, could play the game of like, beam at flipping. Whereas I had to be like, yes, I love this.
Oh, God.
So, but just before that, I basically said, like, Bella Hall was doing, like, courtside reporting.
Yeah.
So she was going through, like, all the comics. So then she was like...
Courtside reporting.
So then she was like, do you think you could win this? And I was like, yeah, no, I think I might win this. So then basically, this whole audience, obviously no one knows who the fuck I am. So like this whole audience was like, okay, this arrogant person. And then Stu was like, she's asked to be on this. I was like, this is the lowest state I've ever been in my life. This is so embarrassing. And then we did the thing. And then I was like, well, I better be good. And then we did the thing. And then I was doing all right. So I think I kind of like won it back by... actually having skills.
You have to be good if you've gone in that hard.
Yes, yeah. Right. So then, but then the last round was where you would flip them. So it was me and Dave Dodukti. We were the last two people.
Yeah.
And the last round was where you would flip like the biggest stacks that you could. So basically, it was just, David Dodukti basically has giant hands. So like, yeah, they're the biggest hands I've ever seen in my life. I don't understand how he plays that tiny keyboard. It doesn't make any sense.
He has to put like a small hand.
I think so.
Additions on his big hands and play it with his tiny hands.
It makes absolutely no sense. So he was just grabbing like these beer mats just by the fucking like load. And then I, with my dainty lady hands, thank you, let's spread this, couldn't grab as many. I'm blaming it on this, not my skill.
Yeah, this is fixed.
But anyway, so then I lost. But it was pretty, the humiliating, the low point basically was when it was like, Mickey's asked to be on this.
Mickey's asked to be on this. Oh, Matt, but you did well. You came second.
It was fine. But then Dave
second, that's good. How many people were competing?
Eight.
Oh,
that's really good, that's Mickey. Good.
Thanks, guys. Hey, that's why I said this low point is a bit of a brag. Yeah.
We're really proud of you.
I meant the bit where I was like, I felt like utterly humiliated at the beginning of it. That was a real low point.
Did they even say that you were a comedian, or did
I don't
they just?
Think so. I think they were just like, and here's a little girl.
Yes.
who's asked to be on it.
Let me on your show. I'm really good.
She's very intimidated by all the big guests here.
This has just reminded me. I did a children's TV show a few years ago called The Dog Ate My Homework.
And they could not figure out whether you were one of the children.
They couldn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've been there ever since. the way it works is like a panel show, but it's for kids.
Yeah.
And each panel has two adults on it, so like a comedian guest and then a regular, and then they'll have a child who's like applied to be on the show, which is very cute. So we did it. These two kids were so sweet, but I was chatting to them before the show, and I think I maybe was one of the only sort of adults engaging with them, because I am like, I used to be a nanny, I'm good with children. So we were like, there was this big window. I'm a big child.
Yeah.
This big window, and it was like overlooking, it was in Glasgow, it was overlooking the river in Glasgow, and we were like pointing things out and stuff. So I'd befriended the children, which accidentally meant they both wanted to be on my team.
Oh, no.
And then when there was, the girl had not been put on my team, and she was very angry about that, but she was also incredibly competitive, like really aggressively competitive, to the point where it was like, throughout the show, the boy that was on my team was so sweet and really nice, and he was just having a great time.
Yeah.
And throughout the course of the show, it became very apparent that if this girl did not win, she would be absolutely devastated. Completely devastated. To the point where a producer came...
She's going to do great things.
Yeah, she's going to have a great life.
Yeah.
To the point where a producer came over to the boy on my team and said, hey, listen, if you don't mind, it would be better if you lost and she won the episode, because I just think it would mean more to her. So do you mind losing? And the good news is, when you lose, you get gunged. So that's good fun. And this boy went, yeah, that will be okay.
Oh!
That's fine. I don't mind.
What a hero.
So we rigged it so that we would lose at the end. And she, and oh, the victory. I mean, I was like, having a nice time with it. I was like, you did a good job and all that stuff. And then we got gunged, which was great fun.
Yeah, yeah,
you got gunged.
Yeah, full gunged.
Oh, that's fun.
What's the lesson we can learn from this? I feel like there's a good lesson to learn from this.
Yeah.
If you throw a tantrum, you'll get your way.
You will. Great. You will always win.
Great. I'm going to start doing that from now on.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know why that reminded you, your energy in that, the picture you painted reminded me of this girl on the dog ate my homework.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Except I didn't win.
Yeah, but I like to think that you were like really angry at DOD when he won.
I was actually. I said that his hands were monstrous. But I would have liked if someone had gone up to DOD and said, listen, this charity case that we've invited, it just would mean so much more to her.
It's going to really bum everyone out if she loses. But you get gunged if you lose.
No, not at all. He got a giant trophy.
Fuck off.
It was ridiculous. It was so big.
That's pathetic.
I wanted it. Yeah. And I just don't think that he should win just because his hands are bigger.
I don't think so.
That's why the trophy was so big.
It should have been a different kind of round.
Yeah.
That didn't depend on hand size.
It should have been all tongue. Mm. You would have wiped the floor with it, Mickey.
Oh, no.
I've seen that guy's tongue. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I played the comedians getting drunk and doing panel shows when I was up there. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
That was a very fun show that I did. And they had a round that was, you've seen Nevermind the Buzzcocks, right?
Yeah.
You know the bit where they do the music round at the beginning?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I'd never seen that. And then they were like, oh, we're going to do the Nevermind the Buzzcocks music round. And everyone was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I think I know what that is.
What happens in it?
So you have to like, you get given a song and then you have to like, you have to explain, you have to sing it to the audience without the words, and then they have to guess.
I'm right in thinking, in Nevermind the Buzzcocks, you have a team of three and two people have to kind of like, almost, sort of not beatbox, but like hum, kind of perform the song.
Yes,
and
yes.
That person has to guess, but that you can't sing it, you have to like, just...
You have to, you can't say the words, crucially, you can't say the words.
But you can do the melody.
You could do the melody, you could hum it, you could, so people would be like, la 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 la, or they would hum it. But I'd never seen Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
And when
and
people
I was like,
la 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 it, can the other one Shazam it?
They just get their phone out. Siri, what's this song?
So I'd been given a song. I'd been given Mr. Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. But I crucially had never seen the show. And I was on first. They were like, oh, Lucas went last time, so he'll go first this time. So I hadn't seen it. So I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. So I just started singing Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, no.
And they were like, no, you can't. You can't sing it. You can't say the words. I had said the words, hey there, Mr. Blue. So everyone immediately got it.
They're like, you've just said the name of the song.
Yeah. And then they were like, does anyone know what it is?
Yeah.
And so I didn't get any points.
I think that would have been a great song to hum. Because that guy has such a weird voice. So I feel like that would have been like, that's what his voice sounds like.
Oh, no, I agree. It would have been a lot of fun if I hadn't
really
ruined it.
Yeah,
they
should have explained that to you because you're such a wee baby.
I just never seen it.
They should understand that young people don't
have
the same
TV.
References.
Yeah.
I've never seen TV. I've never watched it.
You've never watched The Box?
No.
Oh, Lucas, you'd love The Box.
Oh, you'd love The Box.
Oh.
That's the thing that collects dust in the living room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the thing you put your birthday cards on.
But then I crushed it in the innuendo round.
Oh.
Did very well on that.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah. I won back lots of
points. Raised you well.
Like, Sarah would be so proud.
Well, I'm glad we all had a good time.
Mm. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
That's different from normal.
It does feel different. Normally we're broken.
I've had very fun conversations with people where you have to do the double I had a good time, because you've already pretended you had a good time on Instagram anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
So people go, did you have a nice time? And I go, yeah, I had a nice time. But also, I actually had a nice time.
Yeah. No, I did. I had a great time. Yeah, it was a lovely one.
It was really lovely.
Really pleasurable.
So that's a good catch up. That's where we've all been.
That's where we've all been. And
now
I don't know.
Oh, I found something that I thought you might be funny. When me and Noel, afterwards, we stayed for a couple of days after doing some touristy stuff. We went to the National Gallery. The National Art Gallery, Portrait Gallery, I'm not sure it's all. And we found this picture that looks a lot like Mickey.
Oh no, it's going to be horrible.
It's not, it just happens to look a lot like you. Wait, let me confirm.
I'd love it if it was just like a horrible horse or something. Oh my god.
Oh no.
Don't
doesn't it?
That does actually look like
Does
me.
She have a dish full of boobs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I read the thing and it's she's what been punished
oh, we have
by God for
well.
Promiscuity, adultery. So she had to chop off her boobs.
This is classic Mickey.
Well, yeah. It's a bit of a combination between the both of them.
Yeah, that's what
it is. Yeah, that's true.
This is you guys. But was
this is our stories if our stories were combined.
Yeah, Mickey's being punished for promiscuity yeah. and they're chopping off my boobs.
And you're going, oh no.
Oh no, don't.
Oh, don't.
Oh, stop.
But you're right, that does look like
yeah, it's Saint Agatha.
Ah. Ah, Agatha.
Yes.
Saint of true crime?
I believe Saint of podcasts.
Oh, it's not true crime, Agatha, is she? It's fictional crime.
I can't quite read the thing.
Oh, Agatha Christie.
Yeah, yeah.
That took me so long.
I fucked that up. Well, I said true crime.
15th century.
What do you think I'd be the saint of? Come on, guys. What do you think? Huh?
Beer mat flipping.
I don't like this face. Beer mat flipping, I'll take that.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I don't know. I sort of immediately went, saint of, is that a in your pocket jokes? That's a whole thing. Patron saint.
We have a day celebrating that.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Mm.
We have to put that picture up and then people can
yes,
say whether
yes,
or not
yeah, 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 yeah. Like, it's very funny.
Have you ever had this though? So we found once a black and white picture somewhere. I don't even remember where it was found, that of a couple, like an old couple. And it looks exactly like my younger sister. But
no way.
But way more than this. Like
oh,
it's
wow.
insane. Like
yeah.
it looks exactly like Anouk. And we all just had such a every time someone posts it again, we all just have such a laugh. It's like it looks exactly like her, oh my god.
What's your full name?
Mickey Overman.
No middle name.
Yep.
Oh.
And also people often think my name is like short for Michaela or it's there's a Dutch name that is Mika.
Oh
and
yeah.
They think that it's that I've changed it to Mickey to sort of anglify it and to sort of make it, you know,
to get us on board.
Get you on board and to not have to
well,
and to
it,
not have
it
to
didn't
go
work.
Every single time like it's pronounced because that's quite
yeah.
I think I just got quite lucky because it's an English name so
yeah.
I never had to like explain it and my last name is really easy to say.
And you have that oh Mickey you're so fine song.
There's that's
Classic.
A big part of my identity yeah because I'm
so fine.
So fine.
Yeah.
Just
you blow
blows my mind.
Portrait
yeah.
of me that Lucas just tried. And what's your full name, Sarah?
Sarah Alice Keyworth.
It's quite a common middle name,
it's
isn't it?
Pretty classic,
Alice,
isn't
yeah.
it? My mum wanted to call me Alice. My dad was like, please,
so
please no.
Your initials are SAK.
SAK. S-A-K.
Nice.
Yeah.
What?
Mm.
Sarah Alice Keyworth.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
sound anything like you.
My brother's name is Thomas William Arthur Keyworth.
Wow, they've really,
twack.
They've really gone classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Twack.
Yeah. So now that we have Lucas here, we're going to have Lucas tell the story
of my name because my name isn't actually Lucas. My birth name.
Oh my God, Lucas!
Are you ready for this?
I'll just
drop it. It's my birth name is Lucius.
Are you joking?
So, yes.
What?
So, my parents called me Lucius.
Oh, God, you've just become like 90%
so much
more evil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Evil. Yeah, no, it is an evil name.
It's
it means
such
like.
Lucius.
Well, it's from like Harry Potter.
Malfoy,
like,
yeah.
Malfoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was
yeah,
born
yeah.
before that.
Yeah.
Despite what you might believe about how I look. But, yeah, my parents just decided I wouldn't be the victim of enough Harry Potter jokes. So
yeah.
They thought Lucius one more as well. So.
So you were born before...
Oh, you
before
were talking
the
about a Weasley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You look
yeah,
like
yeah.
a Weasley.
Yeah, I look like a Weasley.
Oh, wow.
And
then oh.
also I'm named
time.
After another one. No, it's fine. It's not.
Sorry,
not
we
that
we refuse to let our listeners see what you actually look like.
Yeah.
We've
but,
deliberately not brought a camera today.
But, yes,
imagine we're not
the,
filming
the
this.
Missing Weasley sibling if they were born in the 80s.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, so my parents called me Lucius because they wanted to give me a name that was like... that I could shorten it to something else. So Lucius can be shortened to Lucas, Luca, Luke, stuff like that.
Lucius.
But I know they never called me anything but Lucas, and I couldn't spell Lucius as a child.
That's so funny.
So
it's so weird because
Lucas.
It's like if they were like, well, you can shorten it to anything, but then they already chose what you
they did,
what
yeah.
it was shortened to, so they could have just named you Lucas.
Also, quite inconsiderate, they couldn't even be bothered to give me a name. They were like, oh, we'll give him like a name that he can figure out for himself.
Yeah. Just of a vagary name.
Yes, yeah. Like, we'll give him the start of a name.
Choose your own adventure name.
Exactly, yeah. It's quite a lot of responsibility for, you know, me, age 5 mad. In nursery.
Imagine being a Lucius. Imagine if you'd gone by Lucius.
I could, yeah, I would have been a completely different person.
We would never have spoken to you.
I would have never produced this program. No. This is our producer, Lucius.
Oh, we couldn't.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
Oh, God. It sounds gross. But even hearing it.
My parents
and was produced by Lucius Jeffco.
And middle name.
And my middle name is my grandma's maiden name, which is Illingworth.
Wait.
So I have probably the most pretentious name that anyone can have.
You have your grandmother's maiden name as your. I quite like that in a way. Yeah. It just so
yeah, but
Lucius Illingworth Jeffco.
Isn't it insane?
That has to be almost every letter of the alphabet, right?
Up. Oh yeah, I'm hitting a lot of them. It sounds
Isn't
made
that
up, doesn't it?
Insane.
They this did the is... same for my brother as well. They called him Theodore, but we've only ever called him Teddy.
Theodore.
But Theodore is much better than
What's
Lucius.
His middle name?
Pierce. Is that my other grandma's maiden name.
Yeah, he's got off lightly. You got
Theodore
all of the
Pierce
letters.
Jeffcoat is much better than Lucius Illingworth.
Oh my God, Illingworth.
Yeah. It's a lot of letters. I think it's funny. It's so silly.
It's very silly.
I think if you ever wanted to become a villain...
I'm set.
You've got that sorted. Yeah.
It's mostly in the name. It's mostly branding.
It's all branding.
Yeah.
Lucius Illingworth.
Yeah.
That's mad.
It's very pretentious and posh as well.
I feel really different about you.
Yeah. It's like a secret.
It's
a bad secret.
It's a really bad secret.
It just makes you a lot more posh.
I didn't want to know it.
We didn't know. Like, but my family and Zara are just these two fucking common
as muck.
Common assholes.
Yeah.
And then here you've come in.
Yeah.
Lucius Illingworth Jeffco.
I didn't know we had
our podcast.
I didn't know we had a baron in the studio.
Harpsichords in the background whenever I enter a room. That's the kind of, But it's really weird. My family aren't posh. They just wanted to, like, give me, like, a more impressive name.
It's a very good name.
Buying it.
It's not buying
it.
No. You're off the money. We know this now. This is why you came into our whole vault here today, and you were like, nice.
Because
you've learned
over
the years to talk to people, like, common people like us. Like, we're not beneath you.
No. Exactly.
So
you've only got... You don't even have a middle name, Mickey.
I don't even have... Oh, I'm scum.
She is full scum. So our friend Jet... I don't know if you've met Jet.
Don't think so.
His full name is Jethro.
Oh, right. Great.
Jethro is his name. And he was directing Nabeel Abdul Rashid's show this year. And they had, like, I think they've had, like, over the course of directing the show, like, a few sort of disagreements about, like, what can and can't be said on stage and stuff. And Nabeel, Jet has had to, like, kind of rein Nabeel in on some of the things that he wanted to perform. And Nabeel then, like, wrote Jet into the show as this kind of white, left-wing like friend of his who goes like, oh no, you can't say that and you should say this, and like and so just kind of included him but called him Jethro in the show. So my white friend Jethro. And there was one review of this show that was like, the only criticism I've had of this show is that his white left-wing Guardian reading friend Jethro is just not really believable as a character. And Jet like put it on his Instagram story and was like, I wish I wasn't real.
That's so funny.
I wish it weren't true.
It was just a character.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Poor old Jethro.
Yeah, I mean, names are so like, like you should really think about like, you should really think about, like, the playground. I think my name's really fun now, though.
It's a great name.
And I got really bullied for it. So, actually, I don't know if you should always think about the playground.
I had a friend at school called Evangeline, and she would go by Evie. But then when people found out she was called Evangeline, she'd get teased quite a bit. But, like, in hindsight, like, it's a pretty cool name.
Evangeline?
Yeah.
What were you almost called?
Alice.
Oh, that was
It was never going to get more exciting for me.
Ooh, what was going to be the sort of classic, like, what was going to be if you were...
Not born female.
Not born female.
I don't know. I asked my mum this once and she shrugged and went, I don't know, Ben.
Like, she was choosing it right there.
Yeah, she, like, genuinely... I think I was so, like, tell me, because I was so excited about this sort of other world.
Oh, the possibility.
Because I wanted to be a boy. Yeah, I was like, tell me what I would have been called. And she was like, I literally didn't think about it, so...
You literally... Do you think, like, if there had been, like, a real one, what if it had been, like, unisex? Do you think you would have ever...
I just think everyone should give their children unisex names. I just think it's great.
I think it's great too.
Like Lucius. Yeah.
Lucius is a classic. Yeah.
What would it have been if you'd been born female?
I can't remember actually. I'd never asked. I was almost called Milo as well.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
I wasn't because of the tweenies.
Yeah. That did ruin the name Milo, didn't it?
What's the tweenies?
It's like a very young kid show.
It's kind of like a puppet
show,
but they're in the...
They're like full adults. They're like Teletubbies, but like slightly even more trippy.
Yeah, it's one of those weird children's shows, but it was quite popular in 2000.
Yeah,
right, it was called Milo. Right. Almost called that. And then I was almost
called... was called Jake, wasn't it? The other one was called Jake.
Jake, which
is
yeah,
like a classic name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And then almost Gabriel as well. Gabriel was really close, which is equally as pretentious.
My boy's name would have been Django.
Fuck off.
Wow.
Whoa, you really dodged a bullet.
Really dodged a bullet there. Yeah. There's a musician from the 30s, Django Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Who my parents loved.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was for both me and my younger sister. They liked it so much that they were like, okay, if this one's a boy.
There's some divine Django. Intervention there, isn't there?
Divine
some,
intervention
some...
that we were all born girls.
Yeah, somebody was like, you would have had a boy if you just left Django alone.
Yeah. Fuck Django. Yeah. Isn't that insane?
It's mad that they wouldn't have called you Mickey as a boy.
No, they only liked Mickey for a girl.
Which is fair.
Which is like fine. Mm. But I just think it's like insane. I think it's insane.
Django.
That there could have been a guy sat
in this room. Let me tell you, he would not be sat in this room.
No one called Lucius or Django should be allowed in this room.
I really think
gender is a construct, but if you were a boy, I would never speak to you.
Well, that's very true. Yeah. That's well, what if I were a boy named Mickey? Just no boy.
It's not the name thing, really. Turns out.
Yeah. It's better. It's better if you go unisex.
Yeah, I think so.
I do think that. But if I do have a child, very girly names are coming your way.
Yeah. Petunia. Yeah.
I don't know. Just think. Change it if they don't like it.
Yeah.
I think that will be the main thing. So if you don't like it.
Change it.
You change it.
Mm.
That's why my name's...
That's true. I would have changed it to Wendy when I was a kid.
Oh.
I know.
Because of Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Mm. But Peter Pan, but only in the way of like, this is the only female character in this movie that I like. Do you know what I mean?
And she had quite a lot of agency, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Even though she was mother. Creepy
mother.
She was
the most boring one.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with like, I wanted to be Wendy. It was more, I think I wanted to be Peter Pan. And then I was like,
ugh, I can't
Wendy
be Peter
Pan. Wendy is the
closest. Yeah. Wendy stood next to him, screaming.
Being like, hello, everyone, please. Please, everyone.
Yes. Settle down now, boys.
Children.
Yeah.
I'm a girl.
I'm wearing a nightdress this entire time, even though you guys have got changed.
Yeah. Why?
Ludicrous.
Because you were sexy and see-through.
Yeah. well, this has been a fun episode.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this what we meant to do?
I think so. I think this is exactly what we meant to do.
Wonderful.
I think
I
it's gone very well.
It.
Yeah. It's weird to do it with absolutely zero structure and plan.
But we wanted to do it so people were like, okay, they're still alive.
We're still here.
Lucas is also still alive.
Yeah.
That's important.
We're hoping to get more Lucas.
We're really hoping
I'd love
to get
to be
more
back.
Lucas.
Well, yeah. I'm moving into that cupboard. I bought all my stuff.
Absolutely.
Lucy is as if you need to live in a cupboard.
We'll have to change the label on the cupboard.
Lucy is our boy.
I just regret telling you immediately.
I'm sorry, it's one of my favourite things I've ever found out.
We are going to call you Lucius from now on.
This is the best gossip.
Yeah, I do have to re-record that outro about the production.
Oh my God, let's re-record it. Let's do it today.
And do a harpsichord. Do my full name, please.
Please, Lucius.
Illingworth.
Jeffcoat.
That's me. That's my name.
I love it.
Illingworth. So we're back is basically what we're trying to say, I think. But we should...
We're back, bitches.
But I don't know how long we'll be back for. We just have to, like, basically tell people that they're going to have to bear with us over the next couple of months.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to do a Patreon update about what's going on with my surgery now so that we can just keep you abreast of that.
Very good.
Okay, that was good.
That was good.
That was really
good.
Actually,
as Sarah puts the note where they wrote this down back into their pocket. That was good. That was spontaneous.
I've got a breast tattooed on my arm. Oh, that was good. And yeah, so we'll be here and there and everywhere in the next few months. But yeah, thank you so much for your continued support. We really appreciate you listening. And
you'll hear us next time?
I guess you will. I suppose you will. Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.